Well, good evening. It is about time for us to get started. We have a couple of announcements we'd like to make before we begin our worship and devotional thoughts. We want to remind everyone to join us this Sunday night. So this will be January 5th in the Fellowship Hall for Hot Drinks on Cold Nights is what it's called. There's going to be hot chocolate, apple cider, and great fellowship, and it's going to be hosted by our Lads to Leaders kids. We hope that everyone can make it, but it is... on the one hand, a good opportunity for people to get together and to enjoy some hot drinks on cold nights, but also part of the goal is for our youngest members who are growing and learning leadership skills to be able to interact with people outside of their generation and be able to interact with others at the church. So one of the goals will be to have them seated at like different tables so that they can each meet different people. And the more members we have that come and attend and support it, the better it will go. And so you're all invited to that, and I think that'll be a good night. And then also, another note here, Lads to Leaders parents and anyone interested in the Lads to Leaders program are invited to a parent meeting at 5:45 on Sunday, January 5th in the Fellowship Hall. We'll discuss convention attendance and the upcoming schedule for the quarter. So basically anyone who has kids who could be involved or are involved or anyone who wants to know more about it, there's going to be a meeting giving that sort of information. So those are both on Sunday night. Those are all the announcements that I have. I do just kind of want to briefly introduce what we're doing here tonight. This is the first day of a new year. And as such, this is a time where it is common to think about the things of the past, but then also to press on looking to the things of the future. And as you do so, hopefully there are some goals and some aspirations that you have as you consider what you want your future self to be, what you want your walk with God to look like. And so this week, or this night, we're going to discuss some of the things that would be valuable to each and every one of us as we consider who we are going to be in the next year. We are going to have prayers throughout the evening offered by different elders regarding some of the most important things that we're facing as Christians now and in the future. We're going to have three devotionals from different passages of Scripture that focus on some important ideas. And we're going to have songs and a song service that is all centered around these ideas also. And so hopefully this is a time of meditation, reflection, worship, and praise. But hopefully we're also challenged as we consider who we're going to be and what we're going to live like in the year to come. So Happy New Year. Thank you for your attendance here tonight, starting off the new year, gathering with the church and worshiping God. Let's begin our worship service. If you have your Bibles, please turn to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. This is one of those rather famous passages from the book of Romans, and rightfully so. It is a major transition passage. It's a passage where you're moving from the first 11 chapters to chapters 12 through 16. But you're not only changing like the number of chapters that you're on, but there's also a shift in focus. The first 11 chapters have been demonstrating the unity between Jews and Gentiles through the power of the gospel and through their common salvation and through their common part in God's overall plans for the world. And a word that could describe all of that, the uniting together of two unworthy groups into one family in a common salvation, is the word grace. That happens not because Jews deserved it. It does not happen because Gentiles deserved it. And individually, the part that we play in the plans of God and the role that we have in salvation is not a deserved or earned thing based on our merit or what God owes us. It is based on God's grace. And so you can learn a tremendous amount about grace by reading the first 11 chapters of Romans. But something that is really important to know about grace, and something that we need to emphasize, I believe, when we talk about grace, is that grace is to be received, and grace is to be something that we are overwhelmingly thankful for and appreciative of, that we rejoice in. But grace is also transformative. Grace is powerful. Grace teaches us. Grace challenges us. Grace transforms us. The people we are called to be after receiving grace should not be the people that we were before receiving grace. And that's how Romans is written. Once you get to chapter 12, there's this transformation that takes place where he begins talking about this is how you live now. If you have, by the grace of God, been received into the family of God to partake in the common salvation of God, then you ought to live differently as the people of God. And so as you read Romans 12 and following, he talks about things like, so be united with one another. In that which you can do for the body, do it as best you can for the common good of the body. The skills and the talents and the gifts that you have, use them for the sake of one another. You should be using these things now as recipients of grace. You should be doing as a recipient of grace. You should also transform the way that you view your enemies. You should transform the way you view revenge and reconciliation. The end of Romans 12 is a really powerful and gripping description, a lot like the Sermon on the Mount, of the unique ethical way of living as Christians. And that even leads to the way that we respond to government authorities and some of the different roles that we have as the kingdom of God, even though we live in the kingdoms of men, and what that dynamic is going to look like. But what ultimately it will look like is that we love our neighbor as ourselves. As you get to the end of Romans 13, he begins discussing that, and that leads into Romans 14 and 15, which is, so as you have these things that you guys are divided on, remember that the unity you have in Christ is far more important than each of these things, like what foods you eat or what days you observe and celebrate. Put the kingdom of God above those things, because the kingdom of heaven is not eating and drinking, but it's joy and peace in the Holy Spirit. And so as you read through Romans 12 and following, you start getting these challenges as to how we can act differently. And I think that that's a good thing to remember now. As we are beginning a new year, as we're thinking about the future, think about the transformation that has taken place. Think about who God is calling you to be. Think about being a recipient of God's grace, welcomed into his family, and live in a way that honors and glorifies him. I want to read these two passages. In chapter 12 and verse 1, he says, "Therefore I urge you." And I think that's basically saying, so based on the fact that you have been united together into one family, I'm begging you to do something. I'm challenging you to do something. Brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies, notice the plural there, your bodies, a living and holy sacrifice. And that's actually singular. Something interesting kind of happens in this. He doesn't say, I want your body to be a sacrifice. And he doesn't say, I want your bodies to be a bunch of sacrifices. He says, I want your collective bodies to be this united sacrifice to God. This is something that we offer as a community of believers, united with one another into one family. We, through our lives individually, offer a communal unified sacrifice to God. And it's acceptable to God. And it's your spiritual service. In verse 2, what that's going to look like, a living sacrifice. So a dead sacrifice looks like an animal that's had its throat split and the blood spilled and it's put up on an altar. Like, that's what a dead sacrifice looks like. A living sacrifice, in verse 2, looks like a transformed life. He says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. If people are looking for the good, acceptable, perfect will of God in 2025, hopefully they can see it proved in us, in the transformation that has taken place, in our reception of God's grace, and in the lives that we live in response to it. In that, we can, as a body of believers, offer up an acceptable, pleasing sacrifice to God this year. As we consider spiritual growth in 2025, I don't think there's much I could tell you to do that would benefit you more than dedicating yourself to prayer. If you have your Bibles, turn to Colossians chapter 4. We're going to read a passage here about prayer. And one of the things that I love about the prayer that we just heard is that that's a prayer that took reflection and it took intentionality, it took thought to offer that prayer. And that is something that I would encourage each of you to do sometime. If I'm going to get up here and speak, I put thought into what I'm going to say beforehand. But honestly, a lot of times with my prayers, I don't. Sometimes with my prayers, I just kind of pray off the cuff, and I just think, you know, like I pray what I'm feeling at the moment, and that certainly there's a place for praying what you're feeling right at the moment, but there's also a place for preparing for prayer. There's also a place for getting some sources for what you're going to pray. And I think Colossians chapter 4 offers some helpful thoughts regarding prayer. So chapter 4 and verse 2, this is Paul. At the second half of this book, he's describing what the new life raised up with Christ looks like. Not in the age to come, but right here and right now. If you've been raised up with Christ in baptism, you're living this new kind of life. So what is that going to look like? And he says quite a few things. But when you get to chapter 4, after dealing with the way that that new life in Christ affects our relationships, he talks about how it perhaps should affect our prayer life and our life towards outsiders. And if you look at chapter 4 and verse 2, he says these words: devote yourselves to prayer. So, by the way, that's not the same thing as saying, see when a feeling to pray comes upon you and then respond to it. He says, actually, devote yourself to it. There's intentionality there. There is purposeful setting aside a time that this is going to be something that I am devoting myself to. I'm going to be a prayerful person. If you're going to pray more in 2025, it won't probably happen by accident. It won't happen just because you feel like praying more in the moment. It'll come when you say, I'm going to set aside time to make sure that I'm praying. And as you do so, notice the next phrase that's used: keeping alert in it with all thanksgiving, or with an attitude of thanksgiving. Notice the language of being devoted to it and keeping alert in it. That's being thoughtful and paying attention to your prayer life. And that's I think, could motivate us to prepare for prayer so that you know what you're going to say, and you're going to say the things that are most on your heart and on your mind and the things that most matter to you, but then also to others. So what he mentions first is keeping alert in it with thanksgiving. So maybe, you know, there's a old wisdom of counting your blessings. Maybe do that, but then also pray with thanksgiving for those blessings. Pray for the things that God has given you in your life. Pray with thanksgiving for the good things. Pray with thanksgiving for the lessons learned through the struggles. But then also, looking beyond yourself in verse 3, Paul writes these words: praying at the same time for us also. So as you're devoted and alert and thankful in your prayers, also pray for Paul, but he's talking about the missionary efforts that he's on. He says that God will open up to us a door for the word so that we may speak forth the mystery of Christ, for which I have been imprisoned, that I may make it clear in the way I ought to speak. What's interesting there is he talks about he would like a door open for him to preach the gospel, the very gospel that he's been imprisoned for. And he prays not or he asks them not necessarily to pray for everything to be easy for him, but he prays that in whatever circumstance he's in, whether he's in prison or not, that doors would be opened for the word of God to enter through into the lives of more people. Another way that we could prepare for prayer is, yes, to think about things that we want to be thankful for, but also to think about the different ministries that we have taking place here, the different missionaries that we're working with here, the different opportunities that this church has to make an impact in the lives of the visitors who come here, but then also people in our community, and then also people throughout the world. There are so many opportunities for the gospel and for the word of God, and prayer is an essential part of evangelism. Prayer is an essential work of the church. And so as we enter into 2025, I would encourage each of you to, if you want to grow spiritually, devote yourselves to prayer. Be thoughtful, alert, and attentive to your prayer life. Be thankful as you go through life. Pay attention to the things that you could be thankful for. But then also, be devoted to praying for evangelistic opportunities for you and your church family and our missionaries that we can all engage in. There is a tremendous amount of good that can be done, and prayer is essential to the kingdom of heaven. The prayer that we just heard began locally and it spread to the country, and it spread throughout the world. And that's actually a very similar structure to the book of Acts takes in its discussion of the gospel. It begins in Jerusalem, and it spreads to the surrounding area, then to Samaria, then to all sorts of other countries, eventually ending with Paul reaching the city of Rome. And he doesn't reach Rome easily. He reaches Rome as a prisoner. And he's there, and he's under house arrest, so he's able to stay in some rented quarters, but there's a soldier staying with him. And one of the things that he does when he first gets there is he calls for all the leaders of the Jews in Rome to come and to listen to him. And they don't know a lot about him, but they don't have a great opinion of Christianity, and so there's some skepticism there. And he preaches the gospel to them. He teaches them about Jesus and the kingdom of God from the law of Moses and the prophets. And some of them come to believe, and some of them do not. And he also makes the point in verse 28. This is the last paragraph of the book of Acts. In Acts 28:28, he says to them, "Therefore, let it be known to you that this salvation of God has also been sent to the Gentiles. They will also listen." So some listen and some don't. But whether you're Jew or Gentile or in Rome or Jerusalem or wherever you are, the gospel is for all. And so as we bring the night to a close and we think about 2025, there's a couple of things that we can know, and there's a couple of things we can't know. We don't know how people will respond to the gospel, and we actually can't control that. You can present it to them. You can make opportunities for people to hear it. You can invite people to church. You can invite people to study the Bible. You can teach them about Jesus, and some people will believe, and some people won't. That's something we can't really control. But what we can control is we can teach, and we can support those who teach. What we can control is that we can pray for this church, we can pray for our growth, we can pray for our missionaries, we can pray for the gospel. And what we can control is that we can say yes to the gospel and to the salvation of God ourselves. And as we bring our evening to a close, that's the question I want you to think about, is as you begin 2025, is your walk with God where you want it to be? Have you said yes to God? And are you still saying yes to God? Are you saying yes to his offer of salvation? And are you living a transformed life of faithfulness? If you have the need and you would like the help, support, strength, and prayers of the church as we begin this year, please let it be known. And if there's anyone who would like to begin 2025 by becoming a Christian and naming Jesus as Lord of your life and having your sins washed away in baptism, please let that be known also. If you have the need, please come and sit on the front row while we stand and as we sing.